Christmas, and welcome to our Scandia Bible Church Christmas Eve service in the year of our Lord, 2018. We'd like to invite you to grab a virtual pew and join us as we gather on the evening of the 24th of December to celebrate the night before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our custom for special services such as this, our worship is family style as we celebrate with a mixture of scripture readings, congregational hymns, and good old-fashioned church family music to tell the greatest story ever told, a story that only God could have penned.
Good evening. It is a joy to gather with God's people. We gather this evening to feast on God's Word. And for those of you who haven't eaten this evening, this is your first Christmas Eve feast. We know that Jesus, his message and the message about him is central to all of the Bible. He is the core hermeneutic, the core message in all of Scripture. In fact, Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 24, Luke tells us, "Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And that's exactly what we want to see this evening, Christ from all the scriptures. Christmas started in Genesis. That's when the announcement was made that a Savior would come in Genesis 3:15, and it was a time of looking forward to the coming of Christ. And so that anticipation started all the way back in Genesis. And here we are today, we still live in a day of anticipation. We anticipate the second coming of the Lord. And it is a time of celebration, as it has always been for God's people. If you don't have a program this evening, we can get one out to you. I think we have some extras. It is front and back. Remember all the, we're talking about those letters we received as kids where you had to write over and then arrow at the end? What happened? It was mid-sentence and it just stopped. But, well, last week, we had the opportunity as a family to visit the Harbor Historic Museum, or the History Museum in Gig Harbor. And if you haven't been there, it's well worth it. And among the many fascinating facts that they had on early Kitsap County, specifically, what I enjoyed was seeing how electricity first came to the area in Gig Harbor. And it was the Peninsula Light Company. And they were the ones to introduce electrical power to Gig Harbor. And at the time, you would invest about $100 and people would come and wire your house for you. And you would get, you know, maybe not a lot, but you would get a few outlets. You'd get basically a wire that hung down from the ceiling in your rooms with a bare bulb. And it was in hope of one day being able to afford the power once it came. And in 1925, you had many homes that had wiring but did not have power. And so you looked at these bulbs that would stay cold and dark, and yet it was the hope of one day it lighting up. And so on this evening, 93 years ago, Christmas Eve, the Peninsula Light Company, as a way of celebrating Christmas, sent electricity down everyone's wire. And I want you to imagine what that would be like for a moment. The first time ever in your home, and all of a sudden, everything lit up. It was amazing. And those bulbs, those wires, those bare bulbs were, in a sense, bulbs of promise that one day light would come. And it lit up for the first time. And when I read that story there, I couldn't get it out of my mind, because I can't think of a better gift to send anyone than the gift of light. And that is what Christmas is about. All the elements are there for us to contemplate and think about: the preparation, the anticipation, and then eventually to be surprised by light. And that's how the light of the gospel came into the world, through the person and work of Jesus Christ, just like we're celebrating this evening. This evening is about feasting on God's word, drinking deeply of the wellspring of life, holding fast to the outpouring of God's love through the person of his Son. And so as we do that, as we feast on God's word this evening, don't let these familiar passages just go across your mind's eye without thinking about them, without dwelling upon them, grabbing hold of them, meditating upon them. The sequence in the selected readings is designed to take us from the first announcement, the first proclamation of the gospel in Genesis, through the Gospels of the New Testament. And it's an announcement that did not begin in Luke or Matthew or Mark, or where we usually, it did not begin with an announcement to Mary. It was Christ who is the breadth and length of all the scriptures. He is all in all. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. And so it is only right that our theology that we gather from reading all of the scriptures would be lifted up in doxology, praising God for these things that we are reading about. And so we will either be singing corporate hymns together. We'll have times where people will come up and play something and the congregation will listen. Even in the times of music, we would ask that you not turn your minds off. They're familiar tunes. They are so rich. Some of the Christmas hymns that we only bring out during Christmas season are the richest of hymns that we ought to be singing year-round. And in them you find every yes and amen in Christ as God has promised. So let me open our service in prayer, and I want to lift up a prayer that has been prayed for centuries. It's an old Puritan prayer. It's beautiful, and the Puritans really did know how to pray to the Lord. So bow your heads with me. O God of grace, what shall we render to you for the gift of the gifts, your own dear Son? Herein is wonder of wonders. He came below to raise us above, was born like us that we might become like him. Herein is love. When we cannot rise to him, he draws near on wings of grace to raise us up to himself. Herein is power. When deity and humanity were infinitely apart, he united them in indissoluble unity, the uncreated and the created. Herein is wisdom. When we were undone, with no will to return to him, and no intellect to devise recovery, he came, God incarnate, to save us to the uttermost, as man to die our death, to shed satisfying blood on our behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for us. O God, take us in spirit to the watchful shepherds and enlarge our mind. Let us hear good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore, our consciences bathed in an ocean of repose, our eyes uplifted to a reconciled Father. Place us with ox, donkey, camel, goat, to look with them upon our Redeemer's face, and in him account ourselves delivered from sin. Let us with Simeon clasp the newborn child to our hearts, embrace him with undying faith, exulting that he is ours and we are his. In him you have given us so much that heaven can give no more. And it is in his name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
It all now through your hymn box number 231. God of God, light of light eternal, love, he abhors not the virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Number 231, O come, all ye faithful.
Thank you. Genesis 3, 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat the bread till you return to the ground. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them.
After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gates of its enemies. And in all the offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice.
Turn to hymn book number 246. Came upon a midnight prayer. Number 246.
People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it, with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Okay. Micah 5, verses 2 through 5a. Bethlehem, Ephrathah, you are small among the clans of Judah. One will come from you to be ruler over Israel for me. His origin is from antiquity, from eternity. Therefore, he will abandon them until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers will return to the people of Israel. He will stand and shepherd them in the strength of Yahweh, in the majestic name of Yahweh, is God. They will live securely, for then his greatness will extend to the ends of the earth. There will be peace.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who is called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to the prophets. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Thank you. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh."
Before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His life is the light that shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist as a witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is the true light. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to identify it. Later on, the one who is the true light arrived to shine on everyone coming into the world. But although he made the world didn't recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, the Jews, he was not accepted. Only a few would welcome and receive him. But to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. All they needed to do was trust him to save them. All those who believe this are reborn, not a physical rebirth resulting from human passion or plan, but from the will of God. And Christ became a human being and lived here on earth among us and was full of loving forgiveness and truth. And some of us have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Heavenly Father. John pointed him out to the people, telling the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming who is greater by far than I am, for he existed long before I did.' We have all benefited from the rich blessings he brought to us, blessings upon blessing heaped upon us. For Moses gave only the law with its rigid demands and merciless justice, while Jesus Christ brought us loving forgiveness as well."
Thank you. This is such an interesting story, fascinating. Shepherds peacefully out there in the fields. Some of the sheep would be laying down resting. Some of them would be munching on the grass. But boy, when that first angel showed up, and it had to be pretty impressive because first thing he said was, "Don't be afraid." I was sitting on my tractor up in the upper field today with the sheep, filling the water trough, thinking about this. Yeah, I'd have been startled if suddenly a wow. But what I really notice here is it says after that, one angel came and made the announcement, and after that, a multitude of angels show up. Of course, my first thought is, sheep are stampeding in all directions. I'll guarantee you that. Run for your life. A great multitude show up. It's often, most often translated multitude. How big is a multitude? Are we a multitude here this evening? We're a group. No, other translation is a great company or a vast host. A vast host of angels showed up. Why so many angels? I mean, they only had three lines in Scripture here. Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. But there's another translation that describes it as an army of angels. That's my favorite one. This was quite a happening for just three lines of Scripture. Why did God send so many angels down? A half a dozen would have been, you know. There's a huge amount of angels that show up and say, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. And then the angels leave. How important are those three lines? This is the first activation of the redemptive plan of God for mankind, right there. It's happening today. Glory to God in the highest. This has been planned since the foundation of the world. And all these angels wanted to be in on that. Even if a half a dozen were assigned to it, other ones said, well, I'd like to go too if I could. Well, and you too, all you guys. Maybe God said, okay, everybody gets to go. We're going to have a vast army to do three lines of Scripture. Yeah, it was a wondrous event. But you know, there's something else wondrous taking place around the world right now in over 1,000 languages, in vast cathedrals, huge churches, and in some little home churches with dirt floors. This very same story is being told. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Goodness, I get goosebumps. This is not the first time I've read that. Are you amazed that he included you? You should be. I hope you're included. It's God's wonderful gift to mankind, a gift to sinners, demonstrated by the price paid on the cross. Well, allow me to close, and then we have a couple of more things to happen. Father, indeed, a wonder of wonders that God took on human flesh. And for what reason? To redeem me and those of us within these walls. Humbly, Father, we reflect again upon this story. It's been repeated for almost 100 years within this building. So thank you for your great gift and for bringing us together this evening. In Christ's name, amen.
If I could sing, I would have joined in the chorus. So those of you that can sing have really no excuse. Let me pronounce a benediction upon you this evening before you leave. Hear the word of the Lord. Let us go from this place proclaiming that we have seen the glory of God, believing that there is a light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness shall not overcome. And may the love of the Father, the joy of the Spirit, and the peace of Christ be with you this Christmas and evermore. Amen.
Well, that's going to wrap up our Christmas Eve service for 2018. We pray it was a blessing to you. Be sure to join us for our regular Sunday services, which are podcasted each and every week from ScandiBibleChurch.org. So until next time, for all of us here at Scandi Bible Church, Merry Christmas, and may God richly bless you.